when the Impressionists were painting, the only reason that they could do that is because the new technology of putting paint in tubes, whereas before they weren't able to do that, so they could carry their paint around with them. So even though it seems like these two things are separate, art and technology are really one and the same.
Art and science collide. This is Future Lab, the online radio series of Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. Physics and math problems can certainly require a lot of computing power, but it turns out that art can push software and hardware to the limits too. In the development of one of the most complex man-made devices, the pipe organ, musicians had a major role in the design. Today, digital artists have a similar role. They're working with computer companies to help push the boundaries of the technology. Deirdre Kennedy filed this report.
At an exhibition of digital art called Zero One in San Jose, California, art enthusiasts crawl through a series of vibrating mylar tunnels to experience a work called Tomato Quintet. At the center of the dome sits a plexiglass tub packed with ripening tomatoes.
Here are our tomatoes, our little babies, which we grew lovingly all summer just for this fate.
That's Chris Chafe, a composer and director of Stanford University's Center for Computing Research and Music and Acoustics. Working with a team from Berkeley and Stanford, he created what's probably the first ever musical composition generated by a member of the Nightshade family.
Now, how do you make music from ripening tomatoes? The magic in that, I'll cheat for a second and take this off. You see a sensor which is continuously monitoring the carbon dioxide and the ripening hormone called ethylene. And ethylene is the signaling hormone that tells them, emergency, time to ripe, I fell off the plant. There's a lot of micro variations in the gas levels, and we're picking those up from the sensor and using those to drive modulations in various types of sounds and music that are surrounding the tent.
The shifting levels of light, temperature, ethylene, and carbon dioxide change the tempo, loudness, and pitch of the music. Chafe says musicians have embraced digital composition since the dawn of the computer age because computers provide a wider palette of sounds to work with beyond traditional instruments. But for many visual artists, using computer technology to achieve the vision they have in their minds is still a relatively new craft. Zero One artist Tim Roseborough has created a similar plant-computer duet, but in his vision, called the Singing Garden, a blue screen houses a collection of virtual exotic plants that grow and blossom in response to human vocal tones.
Do. So I'm making both of those go, so I'll try a little bit higher. So it's kind of like a video game in that you have to tend to the plants by singing to them. It takes a little bit of singing skill, but it's really fun.
Roseborough has been creating digital art for the past 10 years. Over that time, he says, vast amounts of computing power and software tools have been scaled down to the point that individual artists can produce complex graphics and animations that used to take an entire art department.
The fact that there are 3D animation and modeling tools that we can use on an artistic and individual basis has been really a great thing for me as an individual artist, because it doesn't take a team to do the kind of work that I've done. It may take more time than a team would, but now, with maybe two or three computers at home that I run over the weekend or overnight, I can do a lot of things that maybe I couldn't do in 2000, for sure.
Zero One's executive director, Joel Slayton, is a professor at San Jose State University, where he heads up an interdisciplinary academic program in the School of Art and Design. It's dedicated to the development of experimental applications involving information technology and art. He says the new wave of digital artists are able to take on many more roles in a project.
What we see is that this new generation that we're, that really is immersed in digital culture is multidisciplinary. Every individual is actually many things, not one thing. So yeah, they might be part engineer, part artist, part musician, part entrepreneur, part businessman, part educator, part theorist. So they have many of those elements embedded in who they are. And it's the question is, how do you pull it out? You know, what kind of platform do you enable to allow that kind of creativity to emerge?
Platform developers like IBM, Sony, and Intel understand the value of enticing artists to test the limits of their new technologies. Intel Labs is currently collaborating on a project called Scalable City, an ongoing work in progress by artist Sheldon Brown at UC San Diego. Scalable City is a virtual world made up of random pieces of houses, trees, cars, and roads that emerge spontaneously from the landscape. Buildings grow jaggedly toward the sky like paper folded into origami shapes. The piece is frequently shown as a museum installation, where Brown provides a giant trackball that users can push to drive a tornado through the landscape, sweeping a funnel of automobiles into the atmosphere. Think of it as The Sims meets The Wizard of Oz. Intel Labs is using Brown Scalable City as a model to improve technology for its gaming and animation clients. Jim Hurley is director of visual applications research at Intel.
He's not focusing just on, let's say, the algorithms to simulate the tornado. He's very much interested in the aesthetic appeal of the actual content that gets created as a result of that. You know, a lot of games, they lay out a level, let's say, for the game, and they, you know, they carefully map out the terrain and everything else. In this case, it's sort of semi-random assembly of these things, and it looks really cool.
The complex images in Scalable City are generated by a process that extracts information from real-life photos and reconstructs them as computer images. One of the things Hurley's group is interested in is demonstrating how quickly technologies like ray tracers can make more realistic-looking images that normally would take much longer to render and assemble.
So in the case of ray tracing, what we're trying to demonstrate is that there are capabilities that are enabled by using ray tracing that you can't do by using traditional raster graphics. So we go out of our way to show physically accurate shadows, reflections, refractions, reflections and refractions, and, you know, combinations thereof. The people in the know will know how difficult it is to create that that scene. In order to sort of have a plausible argument for somebody to, let's say, adopt this new technology, you have to be able to demonstrate to them that we can generate the images that are at least of as good quality or even better than what they're used to.
Jim Hurley says Brown actually incorporates new technologies into the design of Scalable City as they're being created. Using multi-layer processors, he inputs larger amounts of data and uses multiple algorithms simultaneously to handle more assets within the world. And because developers are always looking down the road to see the next generations of their product, they need to understand what kind of requirements a particular platform will need to fulfill. They do that by analyzing how the workload of a huge project like Scalable City will affect the system.
There's various types of so-called sensitivity analysis that we do, like what if the cache was bigger, or what if we had more cores, or what if this bus was this speed and this, instead of that speed. You know, what fundamentally makes the most impact in terms of the perceived performance of that platform when it comes out.
Brown hopes his feedback will influence how hardware makers focus their efforts to make those technologies more viable. And just as artists have always had a role in developing and using new technologies to interpret the world around us, Brown says digital art can be a laboratory where artists can envision the future world that technology might create.
I think in particular with digital technologies that they are making, you know, such rapid transformations to so many aspects of how we live in the world, how we interact with each other, how we understand ourselves and others. It's kind of our job as artists to be at the kind of leading edge of these things and make some space of reflection that audience can inhabit.
Brown is working on a downloadable version of the Scalable City, so that users can contribute to the virtual world on their own laptops. For Future Lab, I'm Deirdre Kennedy.
That's our show for today. Future Lab is the online radio series from Intel Labs. If you'd like to check out the Tomato Quintet or see photos of the interviewees on today's show, you can see them at flickr.com. Use the search terms Future Lab and Digital Art. Other Future Lab shows can be found at iTunes and at connectedsocialmedia.com. Intel Labs is at intel.com/research. We leave you with sounds of Sheldon Brown's Scalable City.